Kia ora, John Winters, New Zealand Supermart Sleuth, and this time we're looking at both New Zealand and the UK. Investors and innovators who choose to take the plunge and have a start-up in the New Zealand food and drink industry are finding it tough going. Some are going into liquidation. Small craft brewers are finding it hard graft, and some have had to shut up shop for various reasons. However, Epic Brewing in Auckland was fortunate to be snapped up by a new owner. In the grocery industry, the latest start-up casualty is Soupy, which went into competition, albeit online, against the duopoly Countdown and Foodstuffs. Soupy appeared with a hiss and a roar and great promotions and seemed destined to find its own niche in a cutthroat industry. It built up a good 70,000 customer base and before its collapse had prophesied this would rise to 100,000 by next year. It attracted investors and seemed to be trucking along nicely. But as with all startups, money became a problem. Startups have to lay out a lot of cash to get off the runway, and then turbulence can really bring problems in the back pocket. It seems hard when a company making such gains should hit a brick wall. Founder Sarah Ball was inspired to tackle the two New Zealand giants head on, not to mention HelloFresh and MyFoodBag. But when starting a venture like that, money, as in cash flow, can be a problem. Suppliers have to be paid, employees too, and not to mention overheads like rent, energy and delivery costs. It's daunting for anyone to take on such a gamble, and whichever way you look at it, it is a gamble. Ball had the inspiration, attracted backers, and looked set to take on the big boys to carve her own grocery niche. But in these challenging times, that simply wasn't enough. She deserves a pat on the back for having the guts to go for it and putting her life savings into a brave and challenging venture. For a time, she succeeded. But in the uncertainty of what the future holds with a new government and the battle in the Middle East could have a negative impact on oil prices, it is not a good environment for a startup struggling to succeed. It does emphasise how difficult it would be for anyone going into the ring against the duopoly. If Aldi won't join the party as it's discouraged by the T's and C's it would have to accept, then what hope is there for companies like Soupy? What about Costco, you ask? Buying food in bulk is not everyone's cup of tea. It's an exciting novelty at first, but unless you live nearby and can arrange to share your purchases with family and friends, it's not going to worry Foodstuffs and Countdown. In Aussie, it's going great guns, but then the population is five times that of New Zealand. So now let's turn to the Grocery Commissioner. The demise of Soupy has brought the supermarket industry back into focus, and particularly between the Grocery Commissioner and the New Zealand Food and Grocery Council. Once again, as I've said before, it's very obvious that his focus is on the relationship between the retailers in the industry and the suppliers. In a recent presentation to suppliers, he referred to the Australian Food and Grocery Council and the differences between the Australian Grocery Code of Conduct and ours. There were a few, but not many, he said. He conveniently doesn't refer to the fact that nowhere in the Aussie Grocery Code does it force supermarket companies to act as wholesalers, where they don't do so already. What's the significance of that? The code was introduced long after Aldi arrived, and Aldi would never have agreed to it. You won't find it in the UK grocery code either. Why? Because Aldi's products are to a large extent private label or own brand products, which is why its prices are so cheap. It has very few national brands. It will never come to New Zealand while the government insists that supermarkets have to act as wholesalers. This was done to allow competitors to be able to buy from suppliers at the same wholesale prices the duopoly pay. But it's not going to make very much difference to what we pay in the duopoly's supermarkets. Aldi will never agree to become a wholesaler as well as retailer, so don't expect an Aldi to open anywhere near you soon. It won't even come here online. This country has to face up to the fact that it's stuck with the supermarket prices we have forever. If Aldi was to open up here, then the duopoly would have to significantly drop its prices. Compare Countdown's prices to Woolworths in Australia. Over there it faces much more competition than and Aldi. Those of you who've been to Aussie will know and will probably wish we had the same prices here. You may also ask, why are the prices of Aldi's private label products lower than even the duopoly's private label offerings? It's all about the numbers. If Aldi comes to New Zealand, it would add the demand on this side of the Tasman to what suppliers are producing for Aldi's 300 plus supermarkets in Australia and be able to bring the unit price down even further. And the number of food companies supplying Aldi in Australia are here in New Zealand too. It does make me wonder why the wholesaler clause is in our grocery code of conduct when it appears in neither Australia or the UK and will never appear. I suggest that consumer New Zealand should be asking the same question. Remove the clause and the welcome sign will be lit for all and sundry, particularly the discounters. But then that would go against the grain for suppliers and probably for other players in the New Zealand grocery industry. It would be as detrimental to them as to the duopoly. And let's not forget that the grocery code and the commissioner arose out of complaints by suppliers that they were being unfairly treated and had no one to turn to for help. So now they have the grocery commissioner. But he can also go into battle against suppliers, as we saw from the Weet-Bix debacle involving the warehouse. Can he help consumers who believe they are being overcharged and complaining when prices go up? His first approach will be to retailers like the duopoly. If he finds they've responded to a supplier request for a price rise, then he investigates the supplier. If he discovers that the price rise is justified due to the supplier's increasing costs, then there it ends. No further action taken. So there you have it. How can you ever avoid what you perceive as outrageous prices in the duopoly if the grocery commissioner backs the supplier and the government stops the possibility of shopping at Aldi? The answer's simple. Move to Australia or the British Isles. I'm joking, but you see the fix we're in. The Labour government took steps to pacify the suppliers, who in turn got price rises through much more easily. The Ukraine is the world's food basket, and Russia has effectively put that out of action. The war in the Middle East may well push up oil prices, which in turn affects suppliers, and once again we're back where we started, with suppliers demanding price increases from the duopoly. The Grocery Commissioner steps in to prove the price increase is justified, and we're back to square one. And before you ask, what's the answer then? I've already told you. The government is going to stop Three Waters and Light Rail, so if it can do that, it can also stop retailers who are not wholesalers being made to become wholesalers. Then, if it does, hello Aldi. Now we turn to the UK. Surprise, surprise, Lidl is said by consumer watchdog Which? To be the UK's cheapest supermarket for a basket of groceries, ending a 16-month run by its key rival Aldi. For a larger trolley of items, Asda's still the cheapest retailer and Waitrose the most expensive. The monthly analysis involves comparing the average prices of a shop consisting of everyday groceries at 8 of the country's biggest supermarkets. It also looks at a larger trolley of groceries at 6 supermarkets, which excludes the discounters as they don't always stock major brands. Cheapest supermarket for a smaller basket of goods in October was Lidl, where the cost averaged £74.58 across the month. Aldi was just 17p behind on £74.75, so there's not much difference between the two. A basket of groceries at Waitrose totaled £91.15, 22% more than a little. Weeks after opening its largest regional distribution centre in the world in Luton in Bedfordshire, Lidl's got planning permission for another major warehouse to support its expansion plans. This time it's in Gildersham, Leeds. Turning to rival Aldi, it announced a Christmas price lock, which will see the cost of key food staples, including a range of whole turkey crowns, pigs in blankets, Christmas puddings and festive vegetables, prices unchanged from 2022. The move comes after the discounter found 40% of British consumers are planning to spend less on Christmas food compared to last year, while nearly one in five plan to invite fewer people to the Christmas meal. Aldi claims its price lock will mean a family of four can put together a Christmas meal for less than £15. That's $30 in New Zealand currency. It noted three of its fresh turkey lines will be even cheaper than last year. Aldi's announced a price lock ahead of November when 26% start buying food for the Christmas Day meal. But almost one in five admitted they're spreading the cost of the big day, starting to stock up on items in the sales. Sainsbury's has started testing new premium self-service concepts to fill space vacated by the closure of its Man's Meat, Fish and Deli counters more than 2 years ago. According to trade publication The Grocer, one part of the trial in a small number of stores has seen Sainsbury's introduce a new cheese counter format called Cheeseboard, stocking specialty cheeses. In some stores, the concept's been combined with a new chilled charcuterie section. The report noted that the new destination formats largely stop production Sainsbury's existing range of cheese and charcuterie, although complementary, their words, not mine, products are being considered if shoppers react well to the propositions. Moving to its Nectar loyalty scheme, members can now get personalised prices on their frequently bought products after the launch of Your Nectar Prices on its online grocery site. Until now, Your Nectar Prices has only been available to digital Nectar users when shopping in Sainsbury's stores using its Smart Shop system. Digital Nectar customers will now get up to 10 personalised prices each week, with savings of up to 30% on each product, visible on the Nectar app or the Nectar page on Sainsbury's website. The lists based on the products they buy on a regular basis, as well as what the Nectar system thinks they'll like based on their shopping habits. Moving to fresh fruit, Sainsbury's is introducing crownless pineapple in its latest move to cut waste. Crownless pineapples, which are the same as a traditional pineapple but with the green leaves as the crown removed, are now available in store. The new product will be ready to eat when bought with no need to ripen it at home. The crown of a pineapple is typically thrown away by consumers at home, so by removing it for recycling during the production process, Sainsbury's is helping to cut down on food-related waste. It will be the only Big Four grocer to offer crownless pineapples. The removed crowns will either be replanted in the pineapple fields or shredded and given to local farmers to be used for animal feed, reducing waste by 700 tonnes annually. I have to say that in New Zealand, some supermarkets have gone a stage further than Sainsbury's. Dole Fresh supplies a self-service machine in store, which removes the outer skin and the core, at the same time returning it to the customer in a carton to which the customer just has to add a lid. There's no extra charge for the service, and the carton carries a barcode for checkout. Dole Fresh country manager Steve Barton says pineapple sales at those supermarkets have shot up since the machine was installed. And as I said before, it costs no more and those lids are also provided. Now we turn to new store openings. Poundland set to open 75 new stores in the final 3 months of 2023 as it continues with its rapid expansion plans. The pipeline of new stores includes a mix of new outlets and relocations of existing sites. And the discounters continuing the conversion of the 71 former Wilko branches it bought last month, with 19 more due to open, bringing the total to 56. Marks & Spencer is accelerating the overhaul of its estate with its biggest ever store opening month. The retailer, which has seen a marked improvement in performance under its current turnaround strategy, will open 9 new and refreshed stores this month for an investment of £80 million in its bricks and mortar operation. The openings have already begun with a new 65,000 square foot store in Birmingham's Bullring. M&S will then open 2 further new stores this month, alongside 3 new food halls and 3 store renewals. the opening as a part of M&S's aim to become a leading omnichannel retailer, with its store rotation program aimed at ensuring it's got, their words, right stores in the right place with the right space, end of their words. Moving away from store openings, Morrisons is cutting the price of 58 popular festive items as it battles to win market share during the all-important Christmas trading period. The supermarket claims it's investing over £4 million in cutting the cost of products such as stuffing, roast potatoes, cranberry sauce, Bucks Fizz, peanuts and tinfoil by an average of almost 20%. It noted that the total price of all 58 items in its festive basket is nearly £2 cheaper than at the same time last year. For the first time this year, frozen food sales volumes have fallen, although they're expected to pick up in the festive season. Kantar data for the 12 weeks to September 3rd shows volumes fell by 1.2% compared to last year. Frozen food sales typically drop in the summer, and this year sales of foods such as ready meals and meat and poultry fell by 1.7% and 2.5% respectively. The fresh and chilled market saw sales volumes fall more than frozen food, dropping by 2.4% over the same period as shoppers swapped pricier fresh foods for more budget-friendly options during the cost of living crisis. But not all frozen categories saw demand fall. Frozen fish volumes grew by 3.2% and frozen vegetables rose a healthy 5.3%. Finally, some good news. Morrison's boss David Potts has reaffirmed that the worst of inflation is behind the grocery sector, with the rate of price rises slowing to between 4% and 6% in the run-up to Christmas. But speaking to Sky News, he noted that some items still face price pressures like veg and some salad lines, partly due to erratic weather action. He added they had recently made some further price cuts. That's it for this time. I'll be back again soon with more news from the grocery industry. Bye for now.